Hey, Mac, when does deer season start?
Well, if you want the best deer herd possible, Lanny, you need to start right now.
Right now.
That's why we're starting our promotion. I mean, we've got a Deer Season Starts Now promotion on plantbiologic.com where you can pick up our Game Changer soybeans, our forage soybeans, and our spring protein peas. While you're there, you might as well go ahead and pick up some brassicas like our final forage and winter bowls.
Yeah, stock up for the cool season planting right now. Listeners to the GK Podcast, if you use coupon code GKPOD, you can save an additional 10% off our entire selection of warm season, cool season, and clover food plot seed. Get started today and visit plantbiologic.com for an unforgettable fall.
I am Jeff Foxworthy, and welcome to Gamekeeper Podcast. If you want to learn more about farming for wildlife and habitat management, then buddy, you are in the right place. Join the Gamekeeper crew direct from Mossy Oak Land Enhancement Studio as they discuss the latest wildlife and habitat management practices, news, and of course, hunting. There's no telling what you'll learn, but I'm going to tell you, I bet it's interesting. Enjoy.
We're live in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Mac. That's a great countdown. We appreciate it. Boy, it's going to be a fun one, I think.
I think so, too.
Yeah. We got Dudley's finally here.
I'm finally here, I guess.
Lanny.
Where you been, Dudley?
I don't know. Lanny, we should at that Taylor Swift concert.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mac's over here.
Everybody's kind of dreary-eyed from the turkey season.
It has been a long turkey season. And then when I look at on the guest couch, we've got two renegades sitting here. One of them is from North Alabama. His name is Rip Dickerson. Mm. And then from Kentucky, we have Sean Wright.
Yes. All right, in the house.
Both of these gentlemen have Woodhaven shirts on. They have something to do with the game call company Woodhaven. And they're going to teach us about locator calls.
Hoorah.
We've been doing this mastery series.
Yeah.
And we really hadn't hit on the tube call. Cuz kind of got there a little bit with the tube call.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think just making them gobble.
Locating them.
I guess
that's right. that's what we call it.
I don't know. I guess, yeah.
What we call it locating them.
That makes sense.
You know, and Dudley, this one's kind of handpicked for you.
Okay.
We're trying to get you started. We're trying to help you locate one.
Okay, yeah.
And we got about...
I've located some. I just chose to grow more for next year.
He is a conservationist and gamekeeper to the core.
Yeah, he is. Yes, he is. So, look, I got a couple things we need to touch base on here. First, before we get started, they're real quick and easy. Guys, if you hadn't watched The Colonel and the Fox on YouTube, you need to go watch. Have you both of you guys watched it?
Yes, sir.
It's good, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
It really is good. Mac, did Wilkes get to watch it?
He did.
Yeah, that's a great show. So then I ran across something else. You know, being from Montgomery, Bullock County is kind of deep in my heart.
Yes.
There's a young guy there named Hunter Smith that made a film that's on YouTube. I watched it last night. I was just real impressed with it. It was called, I made a note here. It's called In the Pines, an Alabama Turkey Conservation Story. So you can go to YouTube
and check that out. That's what you sent. I hadn't watched it.
Yeah,
it's really good.
I loved it. Yeah, it was cool.
Very well done. I was just real impressed with that. So, guys, y'all check that out. And, gosh, we have been, you know, we've been doing this mastery series. And we did one on trumpets a few weeks back.
Yeah.
And I have gotten so many texts and calls and comments about people being a little – that become interested in trumpets. And I wanted just to make sure I point out, you know, we had Mike Batty on there.
Mm-hmm.
And but there's a guy named Billy Bice that makes some fantastic trumpet calls. There's Mark Prudhomme, who we've had in here.
We've had him in here.
He's incredible on a trumpet. There's a guy named Ricky Padgett. And Rob, what's the guy's name from over in the Delta?
Bill Lester.
So yeah. There's some trumpet options out there, guys. Yes. Does Woodhaven have a trumpet?
No, sir.
So I think there's these real artsy guys that are building these things, and you know, they're not being mass produced.
Yeah.
But so that would just wanted to give everybody some more options.
How are you progressing on your trumpet?
Not very good.
But I mean, he's been doing the water drop every 15 seconds in the office for the whole turkey
season.
It seems
like the trumpet made him better on the diaphragm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or maybe he sounds so bad on the trumpet But that his diaphragm sounds.
And that's probably what it is. So I've got this for everybody to listen before we get started. Y'all just give me just a little bit.
Yes, sir.
So this is a video of a guy named Adam Mills.
We're going to watch something?
Running a trumpet real close. So listen to what this sounds like. And then we're going to play another video of him about 30 yards away. And just listen to the difference. If Richie can get that to play. Okay, now, so you hear that.
Yeah, I heard that.
And, you know, to me, it's kind of like, okay, that's interesting sound.
A little bit of a goosey sound to it.
But listen to it.
He did work a cut in there, though, too.
Yeah. Listen to it at a distance now. So this is 25 or 30 yards.
Huge difference.
Pretty interesting. So, Mike was just trying to point out to me that how it the sound is better off at a distance. Yeah. So to not get down on myself for not.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Out of all the calls I've ever attempted, it does sound the worst. You know, when you're playing it and listening to yourself.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Are you guys messing with trumpets at all?
No, sir. I haven't.
No, but we've had this conversation about how things sound in the, you know, like we all run mouth calls in the truck, you know, wherever you're going and, you know, sitting in a room or whatever in the shop or something. And then when you get out in the woods and get separated, you know, the sound is different than it is right beside you.
Yes.
A huge difference. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just very interesting. So, you know, I just thought I'd point that out.
No, it makes sense.
Yeah, that trumpet sound there, I've heard that hymn before.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty good.
That was good stuff right there.
Yeah, that sure was. All right, so look, let's turn our attention. One more thing, Blood on the Biologic. I wanted to just give a shout-out to Bill Duke.
Oh, yeah.
Duke Trap killed his first turkey.
On the board.
How about that? Yeah.
I mean, he saved a lot of turkeys.
Yeah, he sure has.
That's a good point, Mike.
He deserves one.
I think he's finding all this a little later in life, and I bet you he's gonna become a rabid turkey hunter.
Man.
I'm just betting.
You think so?
I do. He's got a twinkle in his eye about it, that's for sure. I mean, you can't not get excited about
it. I mean, you know how I am about it, so.
By the way, so if you're not going to use your Alabama turkey, can you hand it over to me?
I'm not going to use it. The season's not over with yet.
Okay. Well, as long as there's still some time left, if you're going to use it.
There is some time left.
Okay.
Isn't there? Yes.
Yeah, there's about 8 days.
Does it close on the 8th, or is the 8th the last day, or is it the 9th, or how does that work?
We'll need to double-check that, because we certainly don't want to break any laws.
No, absolutely
I think it
not.
Is the 8th, though.
It is the 8th.
Hey, it's Alabama. The date is subject to opinion.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. We're not going to. Let's cut that out.
mark that time code.
Yeah. That was ripped.
Yeah, that was
nobody. That was Woodhaven's crew.
Yeah.
My name is Steve Stoltz.
All right, guys. So we're gonna get here. I want to kind of ask the room, what's the craziest thing you've heard a turkey gobble back at? Just, you know, I remember one time I was hunting down in Macon, and there's a mill down there, and I think it's 6:15 every morning.
Right. It's done it down there for sure.
You know, and I would just kind of always depend on that.
Yeah, shift change, what it is.
Is that what they're doing?
I'm thinking, yeah. They sure gobble at it, though.
They do every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. What about you guys? I'm looking at Sean.
All right. The one that stands out in my mind was it was actually public ground on Peabody property, and it was actually bullfrogs.
Oh.
Croaking right at daylight. And the first turkey gobbled at bullfrog croak. That's the only one I've ever heard do it, but I've never forgot it. That's been 20-plus years.
I should have heard that.
But I hadn't heard it. He sure did.
That's pretty early in the year for bullfrogs, too. Aren't they a little later on in the summer?
Well.
I heard them croaking this weekend.
Yeah, no.
Is it really?
Yeah,
the
sure it is.
Bullfrog.
Yeah. This time of year, the end of April, the last week of turkey season May.
I'm not questioning. I must ask.
Yes, sir.
They was
letting her rip that morning, that old turkey. Sounded off early, just pow, he just nailed right on that bullfrog. I'll never forget it.
Mac, what about you?
I mean, cows, donkeys, horses.
I'm going to tell you, donkeys fun to listen to with a turkey gobbling at it.
Yeah.
I mean, all kinds of livestock.
What about you, Dudley?
I wrote a bunch down, but one of them that's interesting at the place I grew up hunting was we were near gravel pits. And so when that big machinery would go in reverse and it would start beeping, they would gobble at that.
Yeah.
Or when the dump bed slammed shut. But the funniest is hearing a neighbor ride around on their side-by-side, and then they stop to try to locate a turkey, and they blow some kind of locator call, and the turkey doesn't gobble. But when they start driving off, the turkey gobbles at the noise of the muffler and the motor.
Yeah. Rip, what about you?
A peacock.
A live
peacock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some on the river down there, but I've never been around one of them.
Around peacocks?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure the turkeys gobble. Mm. I know they do.
Oh, yeah.
But
I've heard them gobble at barges. Lots of cool stuff.
Fighter jets.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Barge. Lanny. What? Then there's a long river. I'm not giving away anything, but I heard a barge. And I'll tell you the truth. Y'all may not believe me. This Mac's going to look at me like I'm crazy. But about 7-8 years ago, I had a kidney stone one morning attack right at daylight.
Uh-oh.
And a turkey had started gobbling. And I had kind of turned around the tree and was sitting to him. I was pretty close to him. And a wave of nausea hit me, and it made me throw up, and I was pretty loud throwing up, trying not to be, but I was, and the daggum turkey gobbled.
Oh, that's pretty good now.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Sure did.
That's pretty good.
I still think the craziest sound that I've ever heard a turkey gobble is Dudley yelping at a turkey.
Yeah. No doubt about it. That is bizarre.
But he's never heard a turkey gobble.
I guess I'm the pin cushion today.
No.
Y'all go ahead.
Shotgun blast to do it a lot of times.
Yeah. Yes.
You'd think they wouldn't want nothing to do with that, but
that's on my list.
I've heard
here.
It many a times.
I got one propane tank rolling around in the back of a truck.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bouncy trailers.
Bouncy trailers, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was we were hunting, and a guy came in the gate, and there was a 5-gallon propane tank in the back of his truck, and it, boom, hit his tailgate.
Ow.
Yeah.
And we killed a turkey too.
Yeah.
You know how sometimes you can hear one turkey will gobble and another turkey a couple of hundred yards away will gobble at him. And then I just wonder how far that chain sometimes might go. Because I've been in Texas and heard them make a complete circle around you.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Gobbling, another one's gobbling.
Hey, I watched a guy in Kentucky weekend before last park on the road. We were in the back end of a field and he got a bullhorn out like Max got.
Yeah.
Hit that siren,
mm-hmm.
and the turkey gobbled on the river behind us. He got in the truck and drove off. And we turned and went right
there.
To
you
him.
Go. He must not have heard him.
Yeah.
You ever go across the river and just honk your horn sometimes thinking you're helping out one of those hunters over there?
If I'm running late, I do it a lot.
I hadn't heard this in a while, but I have heard him gobble at a beaver tail slapping.
Is that wrong?
Mm-hmm. There you go.
That's a Canada goose.
Yes. Sir.
Canada goose.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Thunder.
And I had
thunder.
Another.
Thunder is one of the coolest.
Yeah, especially in the afternoons.
Yeah.
I had a coyote.
I
had that happen this year. That just always amazes me. They gobble at coyote. But.
And it did amaze me, too. It seemed to gobble at coyotes later in the day, like if you're trying to roost them in the evenings, howling at them, get a gobble.
What else are we missing, Rip?
I don't know. I heard a story last week about one gobbling at a fort in the ground blind.
Yeah.
He must have been pretty close.
He was. I don't know if I believe it or not. But.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Have you ever heard one gobble at a crow?
That's a novel idea.
Here we go.
All right.
What's that weird bird? A marsh. What were you calling it? It a pileated woodpecker.
Woodpecker. What do you call it? Indian head?
Indian hen.
Indian hen.
Yeah.
Heard that a lot.
I've never heard it, but I bet a fox, you know how start squalling at the end of about this time of year? I'm sure they've gobbled at that.
Has anybody ever had somebody hunting with them that got out and slammed the door? And like, ah, and then a turkey gobbles at it.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, give me five.
Sir. Yes, sir.
See these people? When the clock strikes 5, it's not the end. It's just the beginning. They have to do these things. They have to do those things. Enter the all-new LS Tractor MT2 and MT2E,
a relentless force of innovation. Redesigned with a new hood and cab built for comfort and visibility, with enhanced lifting capacity to get the job done. Making these people the ones everyone else calls those people. Visit your local LS Tractor dealer today.
Moultrie has pioneered the game management category. Today, Moultrie is one of the best-selling brands of feeders and seeders in the world, and they continue to innovate with new technology that gamekeepers will rely on. Moultrie products are always field-tested and designed for hunters by hunters, combining forward-thinking innovation with time-tested practicality. Moultrie, first in feeders since 1979. All right, so guys, Moultrie is offering our listeners a 15% site-wide discount at MoultrieFeeders.com. Use code MossyOak with a capital M, MossyOak, at MoultrieFeeders.com and get that 15% discount. Let's turn our focus right here. So teach us about, let's just start at what you guys do. And then I'd love for you to kind of demonstrate in your thought process behind what you're doing. So I guess let's start with a crow call.
I saw this last weekend. We went under and actually sat down by accident really close to a roosted turkey. Well, as he began gobbling that morning, I heard crows off in the distance coming. And actually three crows, I could see it. I mean, they come in. One of them actually lit on the end of the limb he was sitting on. And the other two was just above him and just screaming at him. And every time they would scream, that old turkey would just gobble. But they would... you know, they just don't like them. They aggravate the fall out of them and they harm them. But they run a sound a lot like this in here. I'm going to run it and show you.
Okay.
And they do that, like that little growl that there growl, at the end, like they're fighting. That's and, you know, right. All the excitement comes about. And the old turkey just can't hardly stand it. If he's not scared to death from humans, he's going to gobble at that. And especially before season scouting, it's a very, very good tool because the turkeys ain't been scared. Because the biggest thing that scares turkeys and makes them quiet from gobbling is pressure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people's the worst enemy in the world to turkeys. Mm-hmm. But
And it's an all-day tool.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's 100% real.
Yes, sir.
If I have to pick one thing, it's going to be a crow call.
Right.
I agree. Sir. Every time.
It's that high pitch and, like, you know, it's aggravating.
Yes, sir.
It's got that shock value that is hard to beat.
Yeah, I mean, the first one I hear every morning, I want to gobble.
You
really do. It's like, oh, there he is.
And that little roll at the end, you know, they just.
And that little fighting, like, yes, sir. And like you said, they'll at daylight or at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Where most people, you know, everybody's favorite in the morning is an owl at daylight, but daylight's about it.
That's about it.
Where the crow is a versatile, it's all day long. Mm-hmm. They will sure hammer it.
That one sounds good. I like that growl.
It's got a little bit more of a ring to it to me than your average crow, which is what y'all are going for. Yes, I assume
you want the little high pitch. It seems
no, it's high ball. High ball.
That's what they call it at the shop when we was building them. Mike said, "You want to make it where to do a high ball. If it'll do a high ball, then it'll do any crow note that you want it to do." And that's true. That is the best way to do it. They're like a duck call.
Though. Yeah.
If it'll do that, then it'll do. I mean, it'll make any sound.
Yeah.
Any sound.
That sounds good.
He sounds really good. And when you say Mike, you're saying Mike Pentecost.
Mike Pentecost. Yeah. Yeah. Actually owner of Woodhaven. And that's why when we was building these calls, putting these calls together at the shop, and him and his son Isaac, they come up with that. They call it that high ball, like a duck high ball, where you do that screaming. And if that reed don't lock up or flutter in that note, then you're able to do any crow sound there is. Mm-hmm. And every one of these have been personally tested. Everyone on the market will run, just like that one.
And then, you know, you get other crows playing the game with you. They hear that and move in, and it just amps that.
Yes, sir.
You know, that gobbler, it's like he's got a little trigger in him. And once you hit him with that high note. Yeah. He lets that gobble out.
The party just gets bigger.
Yeah.
And you touched on this, Mac, we've talked about this. I know we've all talked about it. There's just a strange relationship between turkeys and crows.
Yes.
Like, I didn't even realize they were eating poults. Oh, but they will. That could definitely add to it. But there's just something about it. I mean, oftentimes in clear cuts, we see crows around turkeys that are struck.
Yes.
You know, and you don't know if they're just sitting up there aggravating shit. I mean, you don't know if they're just aggravating them. Or what they're doing.
Right? Yeah, that was a good catch.
Yeah,
and you know,
I've always believed that they would could potentially eat a hen's eggs. Mm-hmm. You know, find her. Yes, just sir. Be so they're smart enough to pay attention to
right.
what she's doing. And I've personally have seen a crow catch baby rabbits. So if mm-hmm. they would do that, they would certainly nice. Get after some
bugs. Yeah. Kill baby. I've seen them. You know, out in the plowed fields like this time of year. Old gobbler would be out there with them crows would just dive bombing,
mm-hmm.
just swooping there at yeah. him. And I don't know that they would personally could harm a full grown mature gobbler, but he could sure aggravate the fall out.
It seems like that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're not, I mean, they're mean, you know.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
Just like a raccoon. They're cute, but they're mean.
Yes, sir.
They all got to eat. So.
Yeah. I always get it. Have y'all ever paid attention to notice? Sometimes you'd ride around town and you'll see a mockingbird chasing a crow.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
I'm always like, you go.
Yeah, that's right. Run him on out of here. To him.
But yeah, we've heard Mr. Bill from the kennels say, you know, if you ever want to go on a crow shoot, it's you probably need to get those little goggles for your dogs because, you know, they're not nice.
Yeah.
You know?
And the other thing is crows are everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
No matter where you go in the country, there's crows.
Nobody's hunting much.
That's yeah. true. I mean, from one end to the other.
And it can be a fun hunt if you do it right. And talking about crow hunting.
Yeah. Remember that guy that used to be on the
pro
show
staff.
Trail?
Yeah,
man. He was a crow killing machine.
Crow man or something. Yeah. He was serious about crows.
He was eating them too.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was eating them. I think he was.
You know what a flock of crows is called?
I do, so I'm going to let somebody else answer that question.
Well, let's. Does anybody else in here know what a flock of, besides Mac over here?
We've all heard this.
Dudley, you know?
Yeah.
No, I do not.
It's called a murder.
Murder.
That's right. Murder.
Kind of Alfred Hitchcocky.
Yeah, it is kind of odd.
Yeah.
Really?
One of these days, we're going to do a podcast about all the different names for a bunch of critters.
Groups of things.
Yeah, like buzzards have a really odd name and rabbits have another name. And
yeah.
A what?
What did he say? is Rob back?
Yeah, Rob's back. He woke up. So one of the things that we didn't throw out a little while ago was hawks.
Yes. Oh, why? How did I miss that?
I don't know. That was on. I had written that one down.
Yeah.
And I missed it.
Yeah, I learned that from old Joe Champion. Rest in his. How do I say that? Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest his soul. So, I tell you what, the hawk, though, is a good – but it doesn't seem like it has the volume and carries quite as far as the crow.
I don't think so either.
Do y'all use a hawk?
Very little. On public land, you know, that's about it. Just searching, you know. I don't use it on any of our land.
I know. I mean, I like it when I hear one flying through and making that noise. I don't know how to duplicate it myself.
So. Did y'all bring a call? A hawk call?
There you go. Run it. That's what I brought you for.
It's that real high-pitched shrill, which to me, the high pitch will come near pulling a gobble before anything else, mm-hmm. especially up in Western Kentucky anyway. But
what kind of hawk is this?
This is red-tailed hawk. It's a new one they're coming out with. It's out, but and we've actually working on a new design for this next year to come out with the one that's even more lifelike sound than this one. But it's just a real high shrill sound, like afternoon.
Turn on Merlin. Let's see what's going on here, if we can.
Oh.
We'll just check him here real quick.
I'm not much on the hawk expert call maker here, but. We'll do what we can do.
Is that a wooden call? It looks like laminated.
Yes, sir.
That's a good looking, diamond wood looking stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see what this thing sounds like.
It's just your high pitched shrill, you know, like hawk.
So interesting.
Sounds like a hawk.
Sounds like a hawk. Okay.
What did you say, Lance?
So anytime you see in movies, they'll have a bald eagle or an eagle. The sound they actually put on there is a hawk.
Yes, sir.
Instead of a bald eagle. You ever heard a bald eagle?
I don't think I have.
They don't sound real sexy.
What do they sound like?
It's a weird sound.
It's like a I can't do it right now. It's almost like a chuckle.
Yeah. What did Merlin say? It was probably too loud.
Merlin said negative, yeah. Ghost Rider.
It's too loud in here a little bit. So.
Bobby's the only human known to man.
We don't know how many hours he Merlin spent out. With Merlin, but it was a lot.
I bet I could do it.
We need to get somebody with
a trumpet from a distance. We need to try that.
Yeah, we should have done it when that thing was playing. Yeah. So, all right, what other calls have we got here?
We, which is probably one of our biggest locator calls, is our owl hooter.
Our ninja owl.
Ninja owl. Scott Ellis won the world, the Grand Nationals with it year before last. So, I mean, it's a very versatile call. Most owl hooters you see come like that without this cup. And when you run one like this, you have to do your hands in a cup formation and open your hands like this. Well, one of our engineers named Rip.
Rip in the house.
Come up with this design right here where you can, it goes over it. And anybody you stop out there on the road and don't have to use no hand or nothing on. Hmm. I mean, your hands will enhance it.
Yeah, and probably make it louder if you took it off of there.
Pretty good sounding owl call.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's the biggest fault people have with this is like all other owl calls, they want to blow hard.
Yeah.
And if you blow hard, you'll stick this because this takes hardly nothing. If you blow hard, it's going to, and you're just going to lock it up.
Yeah.
I mean, you just back out of it.
Scream on it.
There it is.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Scream with it.
It'll do it all. It'll laugh. It'll.
I love to hear an owl laughing.
Yeah. I mean, this call, anybody can run it. It's the simplest call on the market. And it's the best sound.
You hear that, Dudley?
It sounds great.
But he said anybody can run it.
Maybe I
need to try it then.
I promise you, you can run that call.
I've always just used my voice, but that is louder and sharper.
Yeah, it works extremely well. I mean, turkeys super respond to it.
So the whole deal on that thing was when they decided to do it, is I could never get a sound I liked on an owl call, anybody's owl call. Mm-hmm. And so when they cut me loose on it, you know, I figured out the back pressure on it, and we've got a guy at the shop. Scott Tears, and me and him bounced back and forth on it, you know, working on it, and just come up with the perfect, in my opinion, the perfect distance, the perfect spacing, the holes, the diameters, everything, the back pressure on it's perfect. So you can take anybody and, you know, in 5-10 minutes, they can be getting basic hoots out of it, you know, sound like an owl.
Lana, you need to get one of those.
Yeah, man.
It does sound good.
It does
sound
replace good. Your old one.
Hey, if you get the trivia right today, you might get one.
Hey, he's going to smoke us on this. We wouldn't hear about this.
Man, I've been waiting on it. Like it's sitting right here.
Yeah.
Mac tried to butter me up out there in the lobby earlier, and I was like, no, that's not happening.
Hey, man. Mac's a pro. Yeah,
you got to watch. You got to watch him.
You got to watch Mac.
He was giving answers to somebody a few weeks ago.
Heck, he was like,
just a good doctor.
He said, you can come hunt on my farm with him, man, or whatever.
Yeah, now we know
he didn't say that.
Well, so what else in the locator realm are we not thinking about? I can't imagine you got anything else, any other calls.
Yeah, not in the Woodhaven line, but in the past, you know, on public ground and private ground for me, I handled it a little different.
Oh, 100%. What's your thought process, Coach? Explain that.
So, you know, on like where I live, the public ground, it gets pounded. And everybody's got an owl and everybody's got a crow and everybody's screaming on all of them. Everybody's, you know, beating a box call, you know, or a pot call, you know, and so they hear everything. So I try to find something that's out there that, you know, they hear, but that not nobody else is doing. And one of those things is, I don't know, you guys may remember this, Mac's not old enough, is the Oh Night in Hell, the quail whistle.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll use it some. I use a reeded howl or something. Mm-hmm. You know, coyote call.
Yeah.
A little bit. I'll use a peacock, you know, that one of those other companies made, you know, back in the day. So just trying to be different than, you know, 90,000 other people that's, you know, out there.
Yeah, I can agree with you 1,000% there.
So I've got a question about just locating in general. So how often are y'all locating a turkey? If you get out there and you hear a bird at 6 o'clock one morning, are you going to try to locate that bird earlier using a locating call to give yourself more time on the setup? Are you going to let the woods wake up on their own? Or how do you determine when and how to use, for example, I guess an owl hoot?
So it just depends on what you're hearing. As a whole, to me, you know, if the woods are alive, I'm going to let the woods do it. But if it's just kind of calm and quiet and, you know, you're not hearing a lot of birds and stuff, you know, a lot of whippoorwills and things early, then, you know, you're going to run that owl and see what happens.
Yeah, and that may strike up some more owl activity, too.
It does, yeah, it does a lot of times. And then you better run to the first one that gobbles.
How often will you laugh or hoot without a gobble? Like, I mean, because I know, I mean, growing up, I'd hoot one time. If I didn't hear anything, then I'd just sit down and wait for one to gobble. So how long, I guess, is that cadence of calling until you go try another spot?
It just varies, man. It's just all on the feel. I don't really have a set time. Do you, Sean?
No. Most of that all comes down to your preseason scouting, which – yeah. You know, you've got an idea about how many birds is in your area. You know, if one or two was harvested the first week, and there hopefully should be at least one in there, and you pull up and run your owl hooter the best you can that morning and don't hear nothing. Well, if I know another area on down the road, say a mile further, then I'm going to probably pull out and go on down looking for a turkey to respond. Because, you know, that's the whole thing of the hunt is the gobbling turkeys.
Yep.
Yeah.
Find one that's wanting to play the game.
Instead of just crawl down a ditch and raise up and shoot him or something. I want to call a turkey up. I want him, you know, that's the whole thing to me. It's not just the kill.
No.
It's the hunt. I mean, that's, you got to respect the bird. I mean, it's.
Well, I know if they're not gobbling, I ain't going to kill them because I ain't going to be there.
Yeah, that's the way I am. And this year, we've got several acres that we get to hunt up there. And in Kentucky, you could still hunt all day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's three or four of us that take care of this farm. And we made it that we don't hunt past noon.
Yeah.
You know, we let the turkeys rest in the afternoon. And usually they get to go ahead and do their routines and with their hens and strut. And the next morning, they'll gobble again.
Yeah.
But if you just keep pounding them all day long, they're done.
I wish some of our agencies
gobble about the middle of June.
That. Yeah.
You know, so you'll see them. I seen them strutting 4th of July and stuff.
Yeah. Mm. I think that's a great conservation tactic that more people should consider. I know it's kind of controversial because a lot of people can't hunt.
That's
right. Less in the afternoon, but I do think it'd be really have a good profound effect on the turkey population.
With the declining in numbers, I think that would be one thing that they should look at. Yeah.
And some states are that way, aren't they? Rob, yes. Weren't you in a...
Indiana's that way. Missouri.
Yeah. Missouri just changed to a full day.
Yeah. Missouri just went back to went to full day.
Yeah.
Well...
West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and a lot of duck stuff is that way.
Private land on Missouri.
When Kentucky first started, that's where ours was. You could just hunt till 1 o'clock.
Yeah,
and the next morning turkeys gobble again.
That's right.
And then in the last 10 or 15 years, that they went hunting all day long, and boy, after the first week, our gobbling activity really drops. But you know, living there with them in the middle of June toward the end of May, Oh, they'll be blowing leaves back.
Oh, really?
Because they just relax. You know, the pressure gets off of them, and they'll go back to gobbling.
We should really consider that.
Lenny, I had to tell you, hunting with you, you've got your phone in your pocket. You're constantly checking on X.
Yep. Very valuable key features all in those things. It really is. From the compass mode to recent imagery, I mean, it really helps you understand where you are spatially, where you're headed, where a turkey is, where he was. It's a heck of a tool to use in the spring woods.
I didn't realize that they're updating these maps every couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'd have never known about that clear cut that you were hunting if I didn't have that recent imagery.
Well, you know, and you could share some waypoints with me.
I could share some points with you. You're exactly right.
I mean, it has that capability.
It does have that sharing capability, which is great. You know, you're wanting to show me where your gobbling turkeys are.
Oh, man. You know, Onyx, it's a great app.
It's a great app.
So guys can go to onyxmaps.com/hunt and use code Mossy Oak to get 20% off.
There you go.
I'm a big fan of Onyx.
I am too.
Are y'all seeing as many turkeys as you used to? What's kind of y'all's read? That's two different. You're North Alabama, you're Kentucky. What's each area like?
So, you know, around me, it all, you get varied reports. Like, you know, I took him to a farm, the second week of the season?
Mm-hmm.
And we sat there on the first bird and heard, I think, 9 different turkeys gobble.
Come on.
You know, but... You know, the places in, you know, on this private land. So when I kill a bird off of this farm, I don't go back, you know, and I'll kill a bird off of this farm and I don't go back, you know. So it's a little bit skewed and there's not, you know, there's some little bit of crop land, but most of these farms that I get to hunt there at the house, it's hardwoods and pines and stuff. So there's, you know, there's birds there, but no, it's not anywhere like in the 90s where you might go see a flock of 75, 100 hens, you know, It's not anything like that anymore. And it seems like to me now you're starting to see more 1-to-1 ratio. You know what I mean? There's the gobblers and the hens are about equal. Like we're seeing a lot more jakes and gobblers really than we are hens. Hens, to be honest with you.
I can say the same for me, where I grew up hunting in central Mississippi. It seemed like the gobbler numbers are down. But the hen numbers seem to be way down.
Yeah, I agree with that.
What about Kentucky?
Yes, sir. The same. It's the numbers are way down from where they were. Let's just say 10 years ago. I can see a drastic decline, and this is all kind of going to filter in. My son just yesterday harvested a gobbler that had double leg bands and a transmitter on his back.
Oh, wow.
So we called the State Department and met with those people. And, you know, they want to get all the numbers and document and everything. And that lady said it was really rare on a gobbler because they don't band a whole lot of gobblers, but their study is mainly on hens. And she said, right now, Sean, this year we banded 100 hens with transmitters on their back. And so far we're 100 for 100. I said, what? She said, all 100 hens have done been busted out of their nests one time. He said, we've already got hens that's on their third setting in Kentucky. And I said, well, how do you know? Because she'll say, well, the transmitter, if it don't move for 2 or 3 days, either somebody killed the bird or something. So they'll go to that area and then see the nest where the hen's at. And she said, the eggs already be busted and everything is. But she says, of course, it's a combination, I think, of everything. She said everybody's saying coons, and they are part of it. But she says possums and skunks eat more eggs than coons. And, of course, the coyotes, the foxes, and the bobcats. So it's such a struggle for them to raise on the ground. You know, it's just a really battle. But it's just a combination of a lot more people hunting, a lot better shells, a lot better calls, decoys. You know, there's a lot of turkeys killed every year that used to, 20 years ago, people didn't kill those turkeys.
No, that's right.
COVID.
COVID. Yeah, no, a lot of people started hunting after COVID. That's
true. And, you know, the fan deal, they kill a lot of old mature gobblers that used to never get killed. They bred the hens where now they crawl down there with that fan and here comes one running and they kill it.
Yeah.
What about, like, fields? Do you guys hunt around a lot of ag?
We I'll cut you off. Around here, it seems like you don't see turkeys in fields or openings nearly as much as you used to. Is that what you were?
Well, not just the, so like, you know, I'll check their gullet, you know, when I right. kill a bird just to see. And in the last 3 years, I've probably killed, I don't know, maybe four or five that their gullet would be, have soybeans in it, Roundup ready soybeans, you know.
Oh, like seed, like
yeah,
somebody
like actual
treated.
Just planted. Yeah.
Yeah. We were talking about that on our podcast.
And so I was up in Raymer, Tennessee, hunting a farm up there, and it's about a 4,000 acre guy's got about 4,000 acres he farms, and he's a big turkey hunter. And I asked him about it, and he's like, he said, man, I hadn't seen it. He said, but I'm going to talk to my seed guy. He said, because I'll quit using it. He said, I'll start go back to spraying, you know, or something.
If guys would go, Dudley, just think back. Mark Thomas was here. Dudley asked the same question to him. Mark Thomas is a really, really smart guy on chemistry.
On chemistry, yeah. No,
and he, I think he called that a neonicotinoid.
Neonic is like a systemic insecticide you would treat seeds with.
But he was, in his opinion, he was saying he didn't think it was enough on there to make that's what I got from it.
What I gathered was something in the body chemistry and the way those
encapsulates
modes of actions and things like that.
Okay.
It goes to the fats or it goes straight out their urine, something along the lines of that.
Because we've been worried about that too. We've done a number of podcasts and asked a lot of questions. Mark had an answer that nobody else has seemed to have had, and he doesn't work for a
consultant.
Yeah, he doesn't have an agenda there.
Right.
So,
but he's done a lot of studies with chemicals and things over the years.
Okay. I think we should write a question mark by all that, though. It's worth continuing to ask.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly wouldn't want one to eat something like that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was a little worried. I sent it to our state guy, sent him a picture of it, and you know, I was like, is this bird okay to eat? you know.
Yeah, there's... there's a lot going on out there that turkeys, you know, didn't evolve around that they're right. exposed to nowadays. And it's important to look at the whole picture. You know, we all want to blame, you know, one little thing. A lot of
yes.
us do.
Yeah.
And we need to look at everything and study everything.
Yeah. It's highly localized. It's a lot of stuff. Yes, and it's highly localized too. I don't believe, you know, what's affecting turkeys 100 miles apart can necessarily be the same thing.
Yeah. Personally, I think habitat overall is the lowest hole in the bucket, 100%. But there are so many things out there to consider too. Yeah.
Gosh, what he said, 100 nesting hens and 100 of them
were disturbed.
Disturbed or destroyed or whatever that you said.
That's disturbing.
Their first setting, every nest was busted. 100 for 100.
Did she allude to when the date of the first nest was?
No, she did not, but I have a guy that kind of patrols my farm over there, and just day before yesterday, he called me and said, Sean, said, there's a big old mama hen turkey out here. And said, when I pulled up, she dropped down, and little turkeys run all under.
Oh, sunshine.
How about that? That's in Kentucky.
Yeah. Yes, sir. They already have baby turkeys, and we still got a week of season left.
Huh.
But I know this year up here, we've had an unusually warm spring, and myself, I saw a gobbler breed a hen February the 10th. In Kentucky. I mean, she ran around and run out for them and just laid down.
Didn't you have a report from South Mississippi about a bunch of poults too?
Yeah, there's, I mean, trail cam photos.
Yeah, I'm seeing photos show up on social.
And then Sean too, it was interesting. Didn't you say a couple of those tagged hens traveled a really, really far distance?
Yeah, she told me last year that they'd banded 100 hens and some of the turkeys actually never left the 500-acre or 800-acre farm. Well, they had two that they had shot the cannon nets, banned them that morning, and that day they traveled 20 miles.
Gone.
Just,
well, you've always heard
that's like
when
that
they go to the
shot at the dummy line. Sir.
You always hear the adage about them going to the next county. Well, that's pretty true right there.
She said, we actually thought somebody had poached them. and put them in a truck and drove home with, you know, they was in a hurry to get over there because the transmitter was giving the signal.
Yeah.
So when we got over, we come out to the field and there was a hen that afternoon out there in that field and it was 20 miles from where they turned her loose that morning.
They said, you can catch me again.
Yeah. Gone. You know.
Steady walking.
Yeah.
To do that.
We may need to get them on the podcast and discuss this
so
more.
So where was this lady from?
Sarah. She's from the University of Florida. I've got all her information and stuff at home on those bands that was on that turkey. And I could talk to her because she's very interested in doing studies. She's been up there for 2 years doing studies on capturing the turkeys. And like I say, they mainly study the hens because the numbers just keep falling. They're trying their best. And they're really doing a lot of good work with it.
Well, I think Richie and Rob are headed down to Florida next week for some turkey research stuff. So maybe I'll run into her. What about y'all got hogs up there?
No, sir. Mm. I don't.
Mm. Y'all so lucky.
No.
There you go, Richie.
We
think it's having an effect on the hens just because down in the bottoms, you know, everybody that grew up hunting around here in the winters, there would just be just rafts. You've talked about this more than anything, Dudley, rafts of acorns.
Yeah.
And now
pigs eat every last one of them.
They're not there anymore, you know.
Every beetle larvae, every amphibian, I mean, like anything that's cleaner. Any living thing.
Crawdad, whatever.
Seeds, snake, flowers,
everything.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's, they don't have much food in January, February, and early March, you know.
Now, some of our hardwood bottoms look like they've been plowed under.
Wow.
Yeah, man, yeah. We've got them over there, too.
Yeah.
And it's that same way.
And you got to think if they run across a turkey nest.
Oh, you know they're
gonna
eat.
Gone.
Yeah. What you got, Mac?
So, I mean, I know we're talking about turkeys, but I'm thinking about the gamekeeping stuff. And I know y'all are both, I mean, big at taking care of the properties. Are there any tips that y'all have for the folks about that y'all find successful? I mean, I know Sean, your son, killed a really big deer a few years ago. And I mean, I know y'all do more than just turkeys and locating them.
Man, don't kill your jakes. God almighty, if you want turkeys next year, don't kill your jakes.
But wipe
them out, you know.
You know, burns are a very effective way to help turkey and deer population as well. The last couple of years, we've had mass crops of acorns, which has been a truly blessed.
Yeah.
And no really severe hard winters. You know, we might get a stretch where it's 4 or 5 days there where she gets really, really cold. But as an average, it's been really mild on us. And you would think it would be better on the turkeys. You know, some people say, well, they freeze out. They ain't gonna have nothing to eat. I thought, well, up in Maine. They got more turkeys than they've ever had.
Yeah.
So that can't be an issue there, I don't feel like. But the snow don't be an issue. But,
you know, Kentucky seems to be a great state for growing wildlife.
Oh,
y'all kill
about
some
it.
Big deer up yeah. there.
They got the rivers. All those rivers come together.
Yeah,
you got elk in the eastern part of the county.
Yeah,
state.
You got elk in the eastern part.
And you got really good bag limits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one buck, two one gobblers.
Buck. Yep.
Yeah, a lot
you
of
know,
states
that's,
consider
that's got
that.
A lot
that's
to do
got
with
a lot
it.
To do with it. You're exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Good point.
But we, you know, we take care of them year-round.
Yeah.
Two gobblers.
We don't break the law, but if they're going to offer it to us, we you know if the property can stand it,
there you go.
That's how that goes. So I'm a proponent of self regulation.
I know you are,
but if you're not going to shoot first,
I've got a little time left.
Will you let me know before
I'll be going from now till it closes?
Did you say that was in Alabama?
Yeah.
All right, let's not. Go? We need to cut Rich Mike off there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The Furminator is the industry's most versatile piece of food plot equipment, allowing plotters to do every step of the process, working the soil, adding seed and soil supplements, and compacting. From start to finish, with a single implement, it's hassle-free by design. Set it for the seed size and simply drive the tractor, and the Furminator does the rest. Check it out at theferminator.com.
Hey guys, Dudley from Gamekeepers here. I want to tell you about the all-new Gunner Dog Bowl. It's designed for home and built for travel. It's customizable, leak-resistant, light on weight, solid on durability, and rust-proof. Like other Gunner products, they're made in Nashville and designed for everywhere.
Nosler is known for their bullets, and now they're making suppressors. Nosler suppressors are made for hunting. Adding a Nosler suppressor to your rifle will make you a quieter, more accurate, and more effective hunter. Protect your hearing and disturb less game with a Nosler suppressor. The time to hunt quiet is now. Learn more at Nosler.com.
Mac, these guys have brought their own trivia question.
Oh, no.
So the way we're going to do this, the way we're going to do this.
Can we phone a friend?
If they stump us, then they win a prize.
Okay. Oh.
But if we get it, they don't win a prize. So, but one of our lucky listeners that has left a review.
Is going to win.
Has already won a prize. What have they, who is, or we, who won the prize, Mac?
Jesse Greer won a collection of Woodhaven game calls.
Hey. Wow. Wow. Hey.
Wow. There we go.
Yes, good deal. Does Mike know about that?
Well, he does now.
Yeah. Y'all leave a review. I mean, we get a little bit of reviews, but not a lot, and it's a good way to win some free stuff.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Jesse Greer, you just want some Woodhaven calls. So, what did his review say? That was a pretty good review.
It says, Bobby needs to talk less and let the.
Send him to bottom land too.
No, it's easy.
Hey, give me his address.
He left us a really good review and said it was his favorite podcast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, good. How
about that.
Good.
Leave some chill bumps.
Okay, so guys, leave us a review. Got a chance to win a prize. Now. These guys are going to ask us a question, Lanny.
Is this one brought to you by Sheffield, too?
Well, thank goodness you are here, Lanny, and we're getting caught and got us right. Richie, would you please take over at this point?
Today's trivia is brought to you by Sheffield Financial. Fuel your GameKeeper projects with financing for power sports, outdoor power equipment, and trailers. Begin your next conservation adventure at SheffieldFinancial.com.
So, have they financed the wedding yet?
No, not yet.
Have you applied?
No, I haven't applied. We still got a lot of time. We got a long time until the wedding gets here. So.
Hey, have you talked to Harold? I mean, I know he can hook you up with Sheffield.
Yeah.
He is. And we talked to Harold a lot about Sheffield. And Sheffield, we need to hook Sheffield up with some of these trumpet manufacturers.
Yeah.
Have you seen the price?
Yeah, that's pretty high.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You know, I asked Mark Prudhomme about 10 years ago to build me one, and he's like, yeah. And I said, just let me know what I owe you. And he said, I think it was $300 or something like that. And he said, it might be a year. I said, or maybe five.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Just take your time, man.
I'm going to give you 20 a year for 15 years.
They're like artists. Billy Bysshe, his are beautiful.
It is artistry for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, here we go. I'm nervous.
Let's get focused. Mac, you're in this.
Rob, Richie, tune in here. You might help us out here, buddy.
All right. Rip, don't embarrass us now.
You said you liked those crow calls, didn't you?
Yeah, those crow calls are nice.
Well, guess what? They're going back to Alabama.
All right.
Unless you get this right.
Okay.
It's a moment of truth.
Oh, man, he's putting stuff on the table, making me nervous.
All right, now, Dudley, don't just blurt out something real quick.
We need to meet about this before we answer.
Hey, I want all cell phones on the table.
All right.
You can't cheat.
Yeah. Can't ask Mr. Google.
Yeah, you can't cheat here.
My flip phone is closed.
All right.
Cover up your Apple Watch.
The first one is actually easy.
Oh, we got more than one.
What county in Alabama holds the record for the heaviest turkey according to the NWTF?
Mr. Alabama?
For some reason, I want to say Claiborne, but I'm not sure. I don't have any.
Let's think this through. Alabama, I would think it would be one of the northern counties, right?
Yeah.
Because you get around Kentucky and stuff. That's where all the big turkeys are.
It seems like Austin's turkeys are always bigger.
But you got to go through Tennessee to get to Kentucky from Alabama.
I know that.
So we're talking about Alabama.
That Mac, he's sharp.
Yeah.
Nothing gets my Mac. There's big turkeys in the mountains of Tennessee.
It is Lauderdale County.
Golly darn.
Because I can tell you what, when we had deer step up there, when we had that,
there
were
some big turkeys.
It was killed on deer step.
You need to give me an assist because I'm the one that put you.
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
you did. Exactly right.
This one's being pre-tested by anybody.
Yes.
I'll give you this one if you want.
Yeah, that turkey came off of deer step.
It did.
Sure did.
There you go.
A little over 26 pounds.
Jeez.
Man. All right. I got the assist, at least.
We got, okay. Good question, Drew.
Yeah.
All right. So the next one is going off Austin Delano. How old was Austin when he killed his first turkey?
Oh, man.
Mm.
Austin Delano works for Biologic.
Yes, he does.
If you go to the website or go to Instagram, you probably see Austin on there from time to time.
Lifting weights.
He's like a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
When he started working with us, he had to jump around in the shower to get wet.
He wasn't even.
Now he looks like Mr. Atlas.
Mr. GQ.
Yeah.
Mr. GQ.
Austin. Can I text Austin?
No. All right. So didn't he had a stint in New Mexico?
Yes.
And he's lived near Stuttgart.
I want to say I've seen a picture of him in his first turkey.
He was about 15 or 16.
Yeah, I'm going to go 16.
I was going to go a little younger than that.
I'll go 14. I'll go 15. I'll go 15.
Richie, Rob, what do y'all think?
Rob doesn't. He doesn't know Austin that well.
What'd you say?
I said 15.
What'd you say?
16.
I think it's a trick question. I think he killed one like in New Mexico when he was 8 or 9 or 10 or something. So I'm just going to go 10.
I'm going to say, I don't know. What'd you say, 14? I'll go 16. Did you say 16?
All right. Who you want it to go to, Bobby?
I'll take it.
Sorry, well, Lanny.
That's all good.
I mean,
it's all good.
They sell them over in the store.
I'll get a 20% discount over there.
All right. So here's
for the assist. Yeah, a while ago.
Well, how old was Austin?
Yeah.
Huh?
Did Bobby get 15, it right?
15.
15.
Yeah. Yeah, 15. At least, I mean, that's what he's saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, it could have been 20, you know, or 25. I don't know. You can't trust him.
There you go.
This is great.
I think I even gobbled.
Oh, sure will.
Sound like a happy squirrel.
Yeah. that'll match my frog yelp.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm the one with the frog yelp around here.
All right, let's reel it back in. I got a legitimate question.
I like us getting answered questions and getting prizes.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
I do too. That's awesome. So, thank you.
Although
thank
I
you, Wood Evans.
Yeah. Yeah. Although thank y'all. I did not get one right, but I did have an assist.
So I'd like to figure out, you guys, I think y'all know a lot about calls. Why is it? And is it? So, like, at the beginning of the season, 2 weeks prior to the season, I've got a couple of mouth calls, and I'm like, eh, I don't like the way this one sounds. I lay it over there.
It's but then pitching.
A month later, I go back and pick it up,
and
all of a sudden, man, this one sounds pretty good. What has happened? What's going on?
They actually they'll seal solid all the way around. Do you keep yours in a refrigerator or anything?
I don't. No, it's probably in my...
In the dashboard is where he keeps it.
He had it in his pocket when we got here.
I got mine in my pocket.
Yeah. Lanny keeps his in his hat, in the brim of his hat.
But it slung out this morning.
I contest call
you see that?
For years.
There it is, dog.
That's it.
Hey, you can actually run one and say that it's a little bit too loose.
Mm-hmm.
We'll lay it on your dash or lay it out here and let it dry up. And
tighten
it's going
up.
To tighten up.
Mm-hmm.
It will tighten up. But if you want it to stay the same, like the sound you like, keep it in a refrigerator. I've got some calls that I run in the Grand National 4 years ago, and I would still take turkey hunting today.
Mm, there you go.
But keep them in a refrigerator. And I always keep a little toothpick underneath the top reed. Some guys will put it under all of them, but I'll just put one under the top reed. Just a little... I don't use the wooden toothpicks, the little plastic ones.
Yeah.
And just keep it under the top reed and just lick it when you pull it out. She's ready to go. I mean, you don't have to worry about your reed being stuck in the morning.
No doubt about it.
So they do change.
Run
over,
yes,
over
sir,
time.
They'll change.
So run it.
Yep.
Yeah.
That sounds really good. Yeah, that sounds really good. So, some advice to you guys: if you buy a couple of calls at the beginning of the year and there's one you don't like, don't give up on it.
No, sir.
Right. Yeah. And some of it's practice too, because you've run calls since then, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So some of it's practice.
Every cut on a call takes different airflow, and you'll learn how to run your air down the middle of a call, or say if it's a combo mm-hmm. cut where you got a gas out on the right side, you'll run your air through that cut on the right side or left side the same, or a ghost cut or split V will be run right down the middle.
Yeah.
And but you can take a call and just put it in your mouth and just blow straight through, and it'll and you can, if it starts when it breaks, you can go side to side with your mouth and you can tell which side your air is running through on your mouth. Just the way it fits in everybody's palate. Everybody's different.
Now say that again. How do you do that again?
Can I just demonstrate?
Yeah, please.
That'd be the easiest way.
Here we go.
What call is this that you're running?
It's like a copperhead.
Like a copperhead, man.
Yeah, it's not a copperhead because I'm looking at it.
It's a model of a copperhead, yeah. But I build my own.
Is it three reeds or two reeds?
Three. Here, break. Now, if I move it over this side, it don't break. Down the middle. If you never yell, and make that pop, you can just drop your jaw.
That's what I like right there.
And can you kiki on that call? Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. I'm going to take him to the dumb line with me.
Boy, he sounds.
Oh, man.
But, I mean, call it is, of course, if you get an old turkey that's heard a lot of stuff, the more realism you have, of course, the better chance you have of him answering.
Mm-hmm.
But still, killing turkeys is woodsmanship. You're scouting, know which way they like to go. I mean, to me, calling's only like 20%
of
killing turkeys. You got to be able to move around in the woods and not sound like an elephant mm-hmm. and just, you know, be part of the woods. Yeah. Just adapt to it.
Yeah.
That, everybody has said that. I mean, we've all experienced it. No doubt about it. Because we don't sound as good. This might surprise you, but the rest of these guys in here don't sound as good as you do on a call.
All y'all sound
but occasionally they kill a turkey.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's
but it's about knowing the woods, yes, and being smart about where to sit and when to call, what in the cadence. There's just so many variables to it.
Yes, sir. Calling is just a small percentage of being a turkey killer.
But I think a guy ought to try to sound as good as he absolutely can.
Yes, sir.
And there's a confidence factor that comes.
There's 100% of confidence
factor. That comes with that.
Yeah.
So, like, how many mouth calls do you think you bought in your life?
Yeah. I hate to know. Don't let
Bobby probably not that many.
You talked to the cheapest turkey hunter there is.
Well, yeah, yeah.
But he's been through a lot.
My point is figure out where your air is going, then start buying calls. You know, that's what's helped me in the last few years more than anything is finally because I was, you know, you see 10,000 different cuts and, you know, they're like that. They're all, I'm going to be able to kill a turkey with it, you know, mm-hmm. and I sound like crap. Mm-hmm. But I finally, you know, just sat down one day and said, I'm going to figure out what's going on and figure out where my air is at. And we cut calls and, you know, I run on the left side. And then, you know, I started figuring out, you know, dialing into specific cuts. So, you know, figure out where your air is at and then buy those cuts. Mm.
That's good advice.
I'm a V-cut man. No doubt about it.
You got a raspy call. It. Mm-hmm. Most of people like V's are raspy.
He's loud.
You know, it's loud and I'm raspy.
And, you know, we was talking on locator calls. That V-call he's talking about, in the middle of the day, you go to popping it real loud with three or four good raspy yips.
Mm-hmm. I mean, run
that's
dude.
Hard to beat.
Run it.
That's hard to beat.
Up. I mean, I have toothpicks in it. I actually slung it out in the floor earlier when I was throwing my hat at somebody, trying to kill a fly or something.
Well, I tell you what, you guys, and I'm looking at Sean, you sound really good on all those calls.
Well, thank you, sir.
Rip, I don't know what you did other than drive.
That's what I do. Hey, you heard him. Would you call?
No, he's really good. Well, we've enjoyed getting to know Rip through the years. He's plants a lot of biologic, and Austin says a lot of nice things about him.
Yeah, it cost me money, too.
Yeah. So, we got any other locator call questions? Anybody? I think that's about answered all mine.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Turkey research in there, too. That's good.
Really is. Guys, if y'all are listening to this, if there's a subject you want us to try to touch base with, we got a number. You can call 662-495-9264. Now, I'm opening myself up. There's no telling what somebody kind of message people. So you leave a message on the answer machine, and we'll get it. And if we, you know, it's a good suggestion, we might do a podcast about it. But that number again, 662-495-9264, the podcast hotline.
Do you have a voicemail set up there?
We do.
All right.
We do. And it rings to Richie.
That perfect. It,
yeah, comes right there.
He didn't have anything else to do.
No. <doesn't>. All right. Anything else we need to do? Anybody we need to make sure? Do you guys have any loved ones you would like to say hello to before we get off the air here?
I just had a brand new granddaughter day before yesterday. My fourth grandbaby, and I hope there's four more coming in the future.
That's awesome. Get the horns on that.
It's been an awesome spring. We've had a great spring turkey hunting and just spending time with the family and friends. And then when your grandbaby shows up at the end of turkey season, it's been a good spring.
life is good.
Is good. Yeah. Life is good.
Sean just glowing over there.
I can't wait to get home to see you tomorrow.
That's so cool.
How about that? Rip, how long you been turkey hunting?
About 30 years.
You remember your first turkey?
I do. I absolutely do.
Where was it?
Lauderdale County.
Could you believe that you were able to call him up? Did it just
amaze? I don't know if I called him or if he just wandered in front of me. I don't know which one it was. Who was more surprised that it happened, me or him? Hmm. But sure did. Didn't have a clue what I was doing.
Sure is fun.
A homemade box call from a guy there at the house.
Huh.
It makes it even better. You still got that call?
No, it burned in the fire in 2019.
Oh, man.
Sure did. It and the turkey.
That's tough.
Wow. Well, we'll end on that note. Thank you guys for being here.
Yeah, appreciate y'all
you came a long way.
Yeah, it's great when y'all are in the studio, too.
Tell Mike thanks for letting you guys come down here and being a part. So.
He doesn't know we're here.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Thank y'all very much for having us.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it, my fellas.
Yeah. You say goodbye, Dudley.
Goodbye, Dudley.
Get us out of here, Richie.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Gamekeeper Podcast. And be sure to tune in again. Subscribe to Gamekeeper Farming for Wildlife magazine. And don't miss the Mossy Oak Properties Fistful of Dirt podcast with my good buddy, Ronnie Cuz Strickland.